Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles or on your devices to John 13. I'll read verses 1 through 17. This is, as Pastor Anna was saying with the children, this is on the night of Jesus' betrayal, right before his arrest and crucifixion. He gathered with his disciples for this last meal and washing of feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are a lot of issues that face us as followers of Jesus. Some of them are internal, such as how to trust God in lean times, or in times of pain or silence or trial when we are praying often desperately for something and God seems silent and not to move. And doubts come to the forefront. Or how to keep growing in faith when we're busy and tired and have so many things going on that things like worship and prayer and scripture just fall off the radar. We just don't have time. Those are some of the things we face internally. Then there are the whole host of things that are more external and societal, like the potency of cultural divisions tied to politics and race and gender and sexuality and power and money, and on the list goes. All these divisive things in this fractured landscape where at every turn there is something or someone running in opposition, and it's all so very complex with no easy answers. And then there's the fact that a lot of people have simply checked out of the church. A lot of us have family members or friends who just faded to black in terms of faith. Some people we know and love don't even consider what we're doing here as having anything of value for their lives. Church? Me? You got to be kidding, right? There are a lot of things that face us all the time as followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ. Yet we are still the body of Christ in the midst of all of this. We're still accompanied by the Holy Spirit moment by moment, day by day, and we are still called by Jesus to be His witnesses in this very complicated world. And facing all this, any impulse within us of wanting to just hunker down and tend to ourselves and hang out with people who are just like us because it's a lot more simple is really an abandonment of the call of Jesus. Because His call on our lives is a continuing call, and it is an outward call. With all that said, I am so very grateful to be part of a church that has an increasing outward focus. Where these doors are more and more open to whomever comes in. Where I hope more and more people are getting the message loud and clear from us that they don't need to be all cleaned up in order to find a place here. That they don't need to look like us, talk like us, smell like us, or vote like us, or be like us to find a place here in the body of Christ. Because we are the body of Christ, and it is a continuing outward call, out toward others. But we still have a long way to go, don't we? For one thing, overall, we are a very white congregation, right? In the midst of a very multi-hued world. And we don't have a wide range of accents other than between Swedish and Norwegian backgrounds. We don't have a wide range of accents, not like what we find on Saturdays when we have the Closet of Hope here, this coming Saturday. And we don't yet have that outward moving breadth that the first church had at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit moved in, the Holy Spirit swept and fused this multi-ethnic, multilingual group of followers into a body called the church. But hopefully, by God's grace, we're moving in that direction more and more. We're being continually stretched and pushed outward. There's still a long way to go. I'm saying this because we are in the midst of this series, these 6 weeks, using this acronym BLESS. It's meant to be an encouragement, an array of tools for us to continue moving outward. To review it, BLESS. B, we begin with prayer. We pray for people all around us. We pray for God to put people in our lives, in our paths, on our hearts, with whom we can grow a relationship or grow an existing relationship deeper. Inviting God to be intricately involved in this relationship or these relationships. So we begin with prayer. And then we listen with care, genuinely listening to people. Not listening in order to give the right answer, or not listening in order to fix or to change them, but simply listening because we all want to be heard. So we listen with care. And then as we explored last week, we eat together, taking time at the table with other people. And this is an encouragement to invite somebody, like today, to join you for lunch after worship, or at some other point in the week, or even to come into your home, because when we are at table with people, things change. And now today our focus is on this first S, serving. Serving with love, which is central to our mission statement, which is printed in two places in the bulletin. Loving God, loving others, serving God through serving others. It's central to who we are. A few moments ago, I read the text from John 13. During the last meal with his followers, on that last night before Jesus would be arrested and then crucified, we heard that he washed their feet. And Peter's reaction was sharp and negative. No! You can't do this. You're not going to wash my feet. It was too demeaning, too servant-like for a rabbi to do this. Rabbi, in Hebrew, it literally means the great one or my master. And for Jesus to bend low and to wash these dirty feet, he was stooping too low. No, Peter said, you're not going to do it. And Jesus said, yes, I am. And then he said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set for you an example that you should do to each other as I've done to you. That example, he said, his followers are to do, it is not simply this, as if foot washing is the ultimate thing. Foot washing is an example. It was a debased thing to do, as Anna was telling our kids. It was a debased thing to do. It was for people, for servants to do. Not rabbis. Yet here, as well as at so many other points in Jesus' life, he upended the ordering of things. The first will be last, the last first, the meek honored above the bold or the proud, the poor honored above the rich. It was the same upending here. You should also wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you that you should do this with others. It's a call to serve in total humility and with love. So I want to add another word of gratitude here. I'm so thankful for the many servant hearts that we have in this church. The long list of people who show up and say, what can I do? How can I help? Leaving their own agendas behind and just serving purely to serve. God is using this, not just within this church, but out through our community. So thanks be to God for the servant hearts that are among us. I saw an act of serving the other day on Lake Street. I was coming back from a hospital call, and I was in a left turn lane on Lake heading toward Portland. I was walled in by cars, and the traffic was thick because in the far right lane, there was a car that was stalled. Traffic was jammed up, horns were honking, and here was a man, obviously Muslim, wearing a long tunic, trying to push his car all by himself. I was two lanes over, stuck. But right as I saw him, I saw a white jogger come by and stop, and then a black guy on a bicycle come by and stop, and the three of them push this car through the intersection. Three very disparate people working in harmony to get the job done. In about 15 seconds, it was all over. It was beautiful. A beautiful random act to see out there on the street. When we serve, stopping and stepping into a need, pushing a stalled car, or serving food, or offering to pray with somebody, whatever it is. There's such a beautiful dynamic at work, isn't there? When serving happens. It's not, what's in it for me? It's, how can I help? It's not, what are you going to do for me if I do this for you? It's, how can I help? What can I do? But running at an even deeper level, beyond the practical reasons, as valid as those are. Serving is also a way simply of honoring others. It's honoring others. It's saying, I see you. I see you not just for what you can do for me or not just because of our previous relationship. I see you as a person. Maybe with a particular need or maybe just because you're a person. Someone I can honor and bless in whatever ways. You're a person loved by God, cherished by Christ, valued by me, whether you know it or not. How can I help? Serving others honors others. Serving others honors them. This is a mainframe teaching of Jesus. If you read further in John 13, you'll read his words to his followers. A new command I give to you. A new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It moves outward. It includes one another, but also others. Everyone, Jesus said, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. An attitude of servanthood, a practice of serving, of honoring rather than ignoring, of loving rather than using, takes us long steps in the right direction in this culture where so many people are hurt or who are hurting others, and where so many people view the church as having nothing meaningful to offer. An attitude of servanthood, a practice of serving, also takes us long steps in the right direction in this culture where there is such rampant use and abuse of other people, including the use and abuse of women, which has gained such an important focus recently, where women and men are standing up saying, no more. No more. We're at the end of this. No more exploitation. We're calling it out. This is something where we can help take the lead as the body of Christ by honoring and loving others. Because how can you exploit or harass or abuse another if you're genuinely holding that person in honor? You can't. Because how can you do that if your true desire is to help other people to flourish? And doing it out of love, whether it's with family and friends or total strangers. And what would happen if followers of Jesus, including all of us, what would happen if by the grace and power of Jesus at work within us, if our consistent and explicit practice was to treat every person we encounter with a servant-like approach, honoring them, loving them, even before we interact with them, we see them coming. And then doing our very best to bless them, to have their interaction with us be a blessing, moving continually outward toward more and more people, serving others by honoring them. What might happen could be just what Jesus said. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples. Everyone. Not just our select crew of people we already know and love, but also the checkout person at the store or the person at the drive-up window of McDonald's or that antagonist on Facebook. Or the person who is homeless, or the refugee, or people we're not even used to seeing, much less interacting with. It may include people who look cynically at followers of Jesus, or those who have left the church behind altogether as a non-player. It could be that they'll give another look, that they'll hear with new ears, that they'll dip their toes back in the water again because they're seeing something real going on that is connected to Jesus. Could be. To quote Marcy Bauman, who was the keynote speaker at this women's event this weekend, she said, on our own, we're always going to undershoot what God has in store for us. On our own, we're always going to undershoot what God has for us because we'll reason, plan, and rationally figure out what we can't do or what the cost will be. But with the Holy Spirit, just imagine what can happen. So what might happen if, by the power and grace of Jesus, if His infilling of love in us drew us even further outward than we're used to, figuratively washing people's feet, serving, speaking up, standing up, standing with people of all sorts, honoring, loving, and blessing them, no matter who they are, and doing it all because of Jesus. It's not what's in it for me, it's how can I help? How can I stand beside you and with you in your need? Jesus said, by this, everyone will know you're my disciples. So one of our readings this morning was from Romans 12, which is a blockbuster passage. Paul focuses on how we're to live as followers of Jesus in practical, everyday ways. I once heard Dr. Marva Dawn preach on this, and she said basically that if we really did live Paul's words, words that are rooted in Jesus' words, the impact we would have in every direction would be incalculable if we really lived Romans 12. And in a book she wrote about, a whole book about Romans 12, she wrote, the essence of following Jesus is an overturning of the ways we always do things as human beings. The essence of following Jesus is an overturning of the ways we always do things as human beings. Imagine what could happen in the body of Christ if we could get this straight. Just dream of how the church could affect the world if we would become a community filled with the very love of God pulsating through us to others. This is the path we're on. It's the outward continuing call of Jesus. It's our mission statement that we continue to live out. So holding all that in mind about serving each other and others, I'm going to read part of Romans 12 again as we close. And as the worship team comes up, I'd invite you to close your eyes or to do whatever you need to do to best simply receive. To receive these words as words for living. And for us to be genuine blessings to each other and to everyone we encounter. So hear these words from Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Lord Jesus, grow us in these ways. Grow us richly as blessings to others in this complicated world in which we live, to our neighbors, to strangers, to family members, to each other. Grant us your grace to be instruments of your peace, to be carriers of your forgiveness, to be the embodiment of your good news in all the ordinary places we go, all by your grace. Give us new eyes to see people around us. And give us a continually deeper grounding in your word so that when clamorous voices rise up and there's pressure to move in ways or do things that are contrary to your word and your will, that we'll have that confident grounding in the word of life, your word, your presence. Use us well, we pray. Praying this all in your holy name. Amen.